list you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's list is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hi, Sasha.
Hi, Alana.
We are back. We are...
on the pod.
On the pod. Today is a very special day.
Today, our dear friend, Kate Berlant, is joining us. And Kate, I've known of her since high school. We all grew up in L.A.
Yes.
She and I then became very close kind of over the pandemic and talk every day. The more I talk to her, I mean, when we first came up with this podcast, I think she was the first person that came to
100%,
100%. Mind. She has such stories.
I can't wait to
hear.
We should just bring her in. All right, here we go. Kate Berlant.
Kate Berlant. We have Kate Berlant, genius, artiste, comedian, writer, director.
Actress, I would lead, yeah.
Actor.
I actually don't direct.
Yep, I know. I just wanted to throw it in.
It's a controversy, but maybe I should, you know? I once had a psychic be like, I see directing for you. I was like, no.
Please, no.
I was like, oh, so you think I'm ugly?
It's okay. I've been told I have a face for radio. So
wait, that's one of my favorite classic lines. In fact,
you got a face for radio. And you know what? I'm taking it.
I've been told I have a face for Broadway, which I also think is along those lines.
Well, that's just anti-Semitic. Yeah. I've got one of those too.
Also, me forcing you to be a director in my intro of you just like, daddy.
I love it. Actually, yeah, I would love to get behind the camera and kind of see. I love the way the lenses and oblique lines compositionally and all of that.
Basement flooded.
Camera A, camera
B. Vertov, man with the movie camera, Stan Brackage, Maya Darren, you know.
Someone went to Harvard, NYU.
Yeah, somebody went to Bard for a year. Me.
Well, we are so excited to have you on our podcast.
Oh my God, it's an honor.
Did you see how I like snapped into like podcast Alana?
Very professional. Bring it in.
We love talking about embarrassing stories. That is why we're here. We want to make people laugh. We want to make people feel like it's okay to be embarrassing because we all are.
It's true.
And we brought you on because not only are you a gorgeous human being, not only are you hilarious, but I hear that you have some embarrassing stories that you would love to share.
By the way, that's
why we're here.
From 7th, 8th grade is also key.
Yes, it's key.
It can go to 9th grade. We are flexible.
You know what? If it makes me laugh, I'm happy. I'm here for it. Because that's how I'm feeling.
Last year.
No, got it. Yeah. I mean, my youth, those years, so potent. There's so much embarrassment. It's not like I even have like a localized story. Like, I once wore a crazy hat or something. But it's like just the whole period.
We all did wear a crazy hat.
We all did. But that time was so defined by just like, well, I'll say like I wasn't cool. 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade. I mean, if you can imagine me in my memory, I was like 4'11". Like I was, you know, I was like very small and I was like 40 pounds. I was like, I'm fat. And like loved my mom. Like just like, you know, still do, but just was like, why wouldn't I want to hang out with my mom? You know, she's an angel. Like I just really, like I'll flash forward and say my senior prom. I was kind of, you know, I was like indie and I was like, I'm not going to the fucking prom. I'm not a corporate loser who has sex. Okay. At that age, I was on birth control for no reason. I was like, never been kissed, but on birth control because like I wanted to be responsible. Like,
Just in case.
I was like, Mom, I think I should go on ortho-tricycline low. and it'll help with my skin. But I will say actually when I was, and that's like by LA standards. I grew up in LA. So by the time I was 13, everybody was having like deep anal orgasms like from
what?
Their boyfriends.
Really?
And I was like, I've never been kissed.
But also you went to an all-girls school.
Mm-hmm. Which I would recommend for my girls. I'm a strong advocate for single sex education. Not that there are only two genders. Okay. But I really do feel like it shaped me. And I really do feel like if I had been around boys all those years, I would be like in PR. Like, no offense against people in PR, but I feel like it would have just like completely like wiped away anything. Like, I just would have been like a geisha permanently. I don't know. Maybe not. I just feel like it would have been a real challenge for me. But I was going to say that all my friends were like, my best friends were like really hot and sexually active. And then I was like the clown who was always like invited to the...
We know her well.
We know, yeah, we know her so well.
We know her well.
And I have actually, this is a root trauma. this is a lowercase t trauma. I have a lot of those. I'm very lucky to not have as many capitalizations. But anyway, I have a lower T trauma of being at a boy's house after school, and I was with my hot friend, and she was like 6'11". Like, she was truly a PacSun model. Like, she had done a PacSun ad, Pacific Sun. And for those who don't know, it's kind of a beachwear line.
And, for all the listeners, thank you.
And I, you know, in girls' school uniforms. And so after, it was like, we're going to go to her house after school, and then we're going to go to this guy's house. And so she was changing into her like hangout clothes, and I only had my uniform, and she was like, borrow something. But all her clothes were like for a model. So everything was like way too big on me. Like, it was for a long person. I was very short. So she gave me, I remember, I'll never forget it, a Hard Rock Cafe shirt, and I rolled up the sleeves. And then she gave me Adidas sweatpants that were so long and dragging on the floor that I had to roll those like 8 times. So there was like a thick band around my waist.
That's not a bad outfit. Do you remember, was it Hard Rock Cafe like from LA, or was it like the, like what, something from like a, it was Vegas.
I want to say it was like Orlando. It was something, I don't know, but it was, but I remember wearing that outfit, being at their house, and he was cool, man. He like put on like Neil Young. He was like, do you know Harvest? I was like, yeah. And so I remember like listening to like Neil Young, and like they were on the bed, and I was like against the wall, like pressed against the wall. And he was like, and I was clowning for them or something. And he was like, you're really funny. You should be careful though. Guys don't like when girls are funny because it reminds them too much of other guys.
What?
And by the way, wise words. He spoke the truth. We cannot. And you know,
I wish someone would have told me that. I mean, no, it wouldn't have changed anything in my life, but. So were you in like the kind of sense that like you were like, oh my gosh, because me and Sasha were, and we've discussed this many times, is that like we thought that being funny would get guys.
Welcome to my, I was like, I've always been the class clown, but when I started doing stand-up, I was like, I'm going to get laid. Yeah,
exactly.
Cut to 15 years or whatever in stand-up and like being hit on exactly twice. No, they don't. That's not the way it works.
Like, there's, I can't even, countless nights where I'm like, God, my type five with that guy really killed it. Like, he's definitely going to call. Like, sealed my funny story about, like, zodiac signs, like, really made his dick hard. Like, I know. He really just is so down and never getting a call.
No, they want luscious tits in the face of a toddler. It doesn't matter what comes out of the mouth.
By the way, I was funny girl, but I had to, I learned at a very young age that actually funny wasn't sexy. So I very much dimmed my light. And at parties, I would be the quiet one who was just like, I would wear low cuts. I was trying to be so cool, but then it's very hard, as you both know, when there's an opportunity for a joke, it's very hard not to take it. So oh, yeah. I'd be trying to be coy and like coquettish in a corner and like with a low top, because I got boobs very early.
Lucky
thank
girl.
You.
Yeah, truly.
Thank you, Hisham.
Thank you, Hisham. And I was like, anytime there was a pool party, I was like, I'm there.
Oh, I am there. God.
Would be bikini clad, like ready to go, but very quiet and kind of trying to be coy. And then there'd be an opportunity for a joke. And then like the old, like, hey, you know, and I would come out, and then it would be, I in my head, I was like, no, but that's got to be a winning combo, like tits and a sense of humor.
I mean, what
more could a 13-year-old boy want?
What more could we ask for? Yeah.
And then it was like me on the moon bounce, like being like, wee! And like guys like exiting.
I just love this like visual of you like being like, I have to be coy. And then someone like alley-oops a joke and you know you can spike it in, and you're just sweating. 100%. You're like sweating, like trying to fight the urge to be funny. You're like, it's, you're going through like a whole movie in your head being like, don't you say the punchline. Don't you say the punch. And then you just do it.
And I do it delayed after like a few other jokes. So it was, it's like, it was never quick and it was always painful. Me and the moon bounce. It's me and the moon bounce at Maddie's. Can we say last names? I feel like it was Maddie.
We can bleep it out. I definitely have bleeps
for their names. Security. Yeah, and their privacy,
yeah, for their yeah. security.
Maddie house, her birthday party, 7th grade, moon bounce. Me being me and my it was my coming out party. It was the first time anyone had seen me in a bikini. It was a turquoise bikini.
Oh my God.
I took it off and then everyone hit on me and I was like, I have this party in the palm of my hands. I never felt that pretty. And then I got on the moon bounce and started clowning and it was done.
And it was over.
Curtains.
You were so close.
I was close. So close. Also, you'd think the moon bounce would help with the bounce element of everything.
I know, of course.
I know. That's like, what I'm
ba-dunk,
shocked
ba-dunk.
About. Ba-dunk, ba-dunk. So I'm just shocked. I'm shocked that you weren't having them, you know, lining around the corner.
No, and I was jumping. I was jumping high. So then 7th grade comes along.
7th grade, I just really was, I will say so much of that time for me is defined by being like violently horny and like really like not perceived as like a sexual being at all. So being very like, I had so much energy and I had, you know, I was in like such an over, you know, it's almost like, what does it mean anymore to be like, I had ADD, but like I truly did. Like they had to like separate me from the kids. Like I was like really overactive and I mean, I was truly exempt from math 1 year because they were just like, get out. Like, you can't, you're just, that's why, that's how I started comedy. Truly, yes. Though, is I was like, what if I write like an independent study? I'll write my own jokes and then perform them. And they were like, sure. It's completely.
It's your origin story.
7th grade, yesterday I was at my parents' house. I don't know if either of you relate to this. I've always been a very avid diary keeper and like really religious keeper of journals and also of personal affects. Like, I've saved everything. Like, I found these old detentions. Yesterday I was going through these boxes and I found my old retainer, first of all, which was had an apple. Like, it looked as though you cut an apple in half, and like that was the, it's fab. It's so small. It's like really kind of like perverse. I'm like, look at my tiny mouth. It's so great. It's probably the same as it is now. Do our mouths grow? Okay. So anyway, I just found all these, like all the notes, and I found actually this old diary where I'm practically pre-verbal because I'm now going before 7th grade, not pre-verbal. It's dramatic, but just like, I was like, could barely write. And it said, cause I was a flasher, like when I was really young, like 6, 7. And I wrote in this diary, today I showed my vagina at school with an O. And it was partially erased out. So it was like I wrote it down and then I erased it from the shame. So that's something to really bring into analysis because those early moments of shame are profound. I keep going back to pre-7th grade, but it's on my mind because I saw it yesterday. And I was also so boy crazy because I wrote about showing my vagina. And then I was saying like, today I saw Griffin at school. I love him. And I don't even know who this is, but like it's like repetitive, this like obsession with Griffin. It's very... obsessive.
Who was like your guy in middle school? Like, did you obsess over any? I have so many and I know all of their names, but
yeah,
like, was there like a specific guy that was like your Jordan Catalano?
There are a couple that I can't even say for fear of getting out.
I've said everyone's name, just so you know.
No, I mean, I'm like, please, also I'm still in my 6th grade class, there were only 2 boys. I went to a really small school. So it was like all these girls and then 2 boys. So everyone was like, all of that energy was like funneled toward these 2 guys. And they were both really hot and cool. So it made sense. But yeah, of course, there was the, you know, the bat mitzvah, the bar mitzvahs. We all, you know, that kind of that setting the stage for this like heartbreak and this huge like cinematic desire. And I went to Hebrew school, but I dropped out, if you can believe it, because I'm a Hebrew school dropout because I was like, this is really going to interfere with like the school plays and my ability to really like rise in the theater program at school. And my parents were like, okay. I actually, in retrospect, wish, I feel like I really suffered and continue to suffer from a lack of obligation toward like familial traditions or like obligations. So I really think I would have benefited from being like, you're going to Hebrew school and you're getting a bat mitzvah, little girl. But instead I was like, if I'm going to be Truvy and steal Magnolias, I cannot give up Tuesdays from, you know, 4 to 6 or whatever. And so I did that instead. But oh God, the cold brew is really hitting. I know you can feel it. Okay, where was I?
Oh no, I'm hyped up on so much coffee right now. Like I feel like I'm talking like 45 miles a minute.
Yeah.
Miles a minute. That's not fast at all. 45 million miles a minute. There we go.
45 million. No, I'm simply steamrolling the both of you. Okay, so, Hebrew school dropout. Oh, but yeah, bat mitzvahs, bar mitzvahs. And just like, I still have this outfit that's like that I wore to this on one of these boys' bar mitzvahs, and they're like 00 BB silver snakeskin pants that are like look like
low
like,
rider, low, right?
Yeah, low and like so small, like doll clothes, like it's insane. And then I have to say props to my mother Helen, because she really didn't slut shame me. She really let me dress like a little like you know, I wore that, and then I had this pink top that was completely backless, and like needless to say, I had no tits at all. So it was like, I was this like little bony, like
4'11"
creature. Yeah. Like trying to like perform some kind of eroticism anyway. And I just remember also drinking, I was, a very good girl. I hadn't consumed alcohol at that point. And I remember a girl to the bar mitzvah brought tonic water thinking it was alcohol. And I drank and I was like, yeah, I'll have some, like drink some tonic and tonic water. Tonic tastes like poison, like it's not. So I assumed like, no, this is alcohol, and I allowed myself to kind of like give over to the tonic and be like, I feel it. And I remember hearing they played, I'm sorry, but they say my name, Destiny's Child was playing, and it's like, by the way, I mean, talk about one of the best songs we've ever been written. I mean, that's like a beautiful, perfect pop song.
Do you remember the Kobe verse on it? Did you have the weird B-side with
Kobe?
Kobe had a verse.
What?
On Say My Name, my brother got it from Napster.
Sounds about right.
It sounds right. It tracks. And it has Kobe on it.
That's
you could
wild.
Probably find it on YouTube. I was like, see, that's how I performed my coolness. I was like, you guys heard Kobe's verse?
Everyone's like, no, that's not Kobe.
Everyone's like, it's not Kobe.
You got some like bootleg version of Say My Name with like some dude just put a verse on it.
Fully.
I can't believe that. I tried to also create coolness through music, but my whole thing was like, yeah, I like the Ramones, or I was like very, yeah. I was like Led Zeppelin. Like I had posters.
Me too. I was the biggest like, Zeppelin.
I was like Led Zeppelin, the Ramones, the Velvet Underground, but then also like Billie Holiday. Like I'm classy too. Like I had this like, I felt like some kind of like wide reaching eclectic musical taste would make people fall in love with me. And the truth is it doesn't. This is like the harsh reality, you know, it's like
right.
Being funny actually, no, won't do it. The taste, you know, having a eclectic taste won't get you love.
I remember in like fifth grade, the like Beatles One album came
out.
Oh
yeah, honey.
All their number
ones. Red with the yellow one.
Oh yeah, red with the yellow one. And I remember this kid, Cole, who was like the hot guy at my elementary school. He was like, everyone was like freaking out over this album, which is hilarious now looking back on it because it's just their number ones on it. It's like a compilation.
This is how pretentious I was. I remember when that came out going, fucking posers. Who buys that? Not a serious Beatles fan.
Okay, so Cole was like, God, the Beatles are like so mainstream. And I remember like loving the Beatles. And and I wanted him to like me so badly that I was like, yeah, like what are, like Yellow Submarine is so crazy. Like what are they even talking
Rocky
about?
Rocky Raccoon? Get a life.
Yeah, seriously. Like everyone sucks when like really like I had begged my parents for weeks to get me that album and I loved it so much. And then I had to pretend because Cole thought that it was like really mainstream to like the Beatles. And it made me so sad. So
the ways that we shrink ourselves.
Yeah. No, that's upsetting.
I one time challenged a girl to the spelling of Zeppelin. And I was like, you don't know how to spell it, do you? Which is so mean. And I was like, you don't know how to spell it. And she was like, yeah, I do. They're my favorite band. I go, great, spell it.
Prove it.
And they were like, and she said Zeppelin. I said, nope,
ooh,
wrong. You're not a huge Zeppelin head. I was like, no one loves Zeppelin more than me. And I truly believed I was special because I was the only true Led Zeppelin fan in the history of seventh graders. Like I was like, I am unique, terminally unique. I am this brilliant person who saw Almost Famous like 5 times. And so I knew horrible.
Oh my God. Even just saying Almost Famous. Yeah. I will say I was obsessed with Hedwig at that age.
Interesting.
Eighth grade. Yeah. Really obsessed with it.
Wait, did you also have, because you went to an all-girls school, I went to an all-girls school, we had cross-gender casting. So I was always getting cast as the men in plays and like wooing guys by showing off my acting skills. But I was like low pony, like mustache pony, drawn on, low pony, low ponytail, drawn in mustache. Like, hey, you guys see the play? Like it was really, and then I'd go into the wings like waiting for my roses and they'd all be gone.
That's actually, that's an interesting thing because, as you know, my best friend and I, we basically carry the theater department on our backs. Oh, and God, we didn't have, instead of, like, I remember we did The Odd Couple, but it was like a play that was like, that could be written for two women, like Olivia. And like, instead of Oscar, like I was Olivia or something like that, which is very strange. But I will say that in the eighth grade, I guess, I was like, we're doing the Laramie Project and I don't want to hear another word about it. We did the Laramie Project. And like, no, there weren't enough people that were interested. So there were like seven girls and I was like, we're each playing six roles. Go. Like, and it was really chaotic.
We did 12 Angry Men. I was like juror number, oh, that's, you know, cool. all the jurors.
Oh my God. I was actually, hey, I earlier said I'm not a director, but I directed
a one act,
a version of The Bad Seed.
Were you Rhoda?
I was the director. Oh, can you believe this? I buried the memory. It didn't take to me. If I'm not, I want so, the lights on my face. Come I don't full want to be circle, behind the
Sasha.
Scenes.
So you were right.
I was right.
You are a director.
Yeah.
What was your delegating. Like standout performance in like what was like the performance that you were like, I am a god?
Truvy, Steel Magnolias. They I really was that was huge for me playing that role. I mean, but again, my best friend Sammy Birch, she would write the plays, I was her muse, you know. It was really a beautiful relationship. We really, and then the Laramie Project, I mean, there was a lot. And where is the footage? That's the thing. My parents were never the parents with the video camera, like they didn't film me, so there's
mine
no
were
I have no record.
You have no record?
And I'm an only like, child, so I have to bear the, like,
did you buy the DVD?
Yeah, you can buy the DVD end?
My parents never bought the DVD.
Sweetie?
They were not.
There was no DVD at my high school. They it was so lo-fi. They didn't have that. It was like the theater department at that point was in the basement, which used to be the morgue because the high school was an old age home. So it was the actual morgue is where we would do. That's where I first did stand-up, was when I was in high school in the morgue. And I killed.
You killed. Of course you did. When was your first kiss?
Oh my God. Thank you for tethering me to some kind of, you know, anchor, some story anchor. I forgot about that. Okay. I was 14 and I really wanted to kiss him, which is always good. And I went over to his house, jumped on the trampoline, and then went into his room. And he started, by the way, he was like fully suave, like Italian, hot. Okay.
Oh my God.
And he started giving me a back massage.
Stop.
Oh, this actually is a good story. Okay. By the way, never start a story with, this is a good story. Okay, storytelling 101, okay? So we were in his room. He gave me a back massage. Next thing I know, we were kissing, having my first kiss, full tongue, like making out. Could not fucking believe it. We were on his couch making out. Was he feeling me up? Kind of. He was being very respectful. At one point, we're making out, and his hand was like around my waist or something. And I guess I didn't realize it, but I had sort of pushed his hand down a little bit, not meaning to, but just had done that without. And he whispered, he goes, he went, where are you pushing my hand? And I went, nowhere. In my sexiest voice. That is a real memory.
Oh, nowhere. My God. Nowhere.
How long did it last?
In my memory, it lasted for 4.6 hours. I mean, it was so long, but we made out. And then I was like, okay, I've made out. Like, this is crazy. I'm a woman now. He was like, would you like to go to dinner with my parents? Okay.
Oh,
and
my
I was
God.
Like,
fast
okay, sure.
Relationship.
We go to dinner. It's with his parents. I'll protect his identity, but his father was a big restaurateur. So it was a really nice restaurant. I have no appetite because I've been making out for the first time. I'm there with my crush. It's like a table of, it's his parents, his brother, and I want to say like an aunt or there was some other adult there. We proceed to be served I'm not exaggerating, like six course, like meal. And I remember the father was like, do you have any dietary restrictions? And I was like, there's nothing I won't eat or something. I just was trying to be like really easy and cool. And proceeded to be served like soft shell crab. I remember specifically venison. I had never touched venison and I could not eat a bite of the whole meal. And that was, it was so much shame because it was like, I know it looked like I was like a girl who wouldn't eat, but really I just was like, your son just like fed me his tongue. Like I can't eat crab. And they commented on it. It was really, they were like, oh, like what a waste of the venison or whatever. Like, I don't know what to tell you. And then I remember the father said, well, we'll send, because I couldn't eat the dessert. He was like, we'll send you some dessert home. Give it to your mother. I was like, don't you keep your mother's name out of your mouth.
Keep my mother's name out of your mouth. You turned into like a monster.
But I remember like being dropped off by his parents, having this like glass, like restaurant bowl with this cake with like tinfoil and being like, my mother answering the door and just being like, so much has changed. And like,
I can smell it changed. On you. You're a woman now.
Yeah. She's a woman.
Did you guys date after that?
How can I put this?
No.
We did not date, but it didn't end like terribly or anything, but it just kind of fizzled out. And I don't remember, oh God, was I rejected? I'm like, wait a minute. I'm going over the stats here. We didn't kiss again.
You didn't.
I don't think we did.
You just had it
was one and done.
Oh my God. He literally like fucked me and threw me away.
Wine and dine, one and done.
He wined and dined me and threw me out like I was yesterday's venison. That's so, that's crazy. I never even internalized the rejection that clearly was. That.
No, you moved on. And then were you, did you go straight from making out to like handies or were you?
No, I, okay. So I went on to be basically an incel. And so I have a lot of sympathy for that community. And I remember when I was maybe, I don't know what year, but young, I bought a book that I recently found because I can't throw anything away called Sex Tips for a Straight Woman from a Gay Guy.
What?
That's an amazing book. Is like, can you still get that on Amazon?
And I read it cover to cover. I'm sure it's like on the banned book list now.
What does it
Honey,
say?
Honey, you can't get that with Pelosi in the White House. Yeah, I had that book. I read it cover to cover. And so I learned how to give a tantric hand job before I had ever even seen a dick. So the first time that I was giving a hand job, in my mind, I was remembering all like the tantric like tools. And it was crazy because to do like a proper tantric hand job, it's like the person has to be on their back and you have to be like, you know, we've all seen the Sex and the City.
It's like
episode.
Sex and the City.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like in bed, like stiff, like as a board, like, you know, like my positioning wasn't right. So I was trying to do this crazy elaborate hand motion and I'll never forget it. He very sweetly took my hand and was just like,
keep it old
this.
School. Keep it normal.
Because I was doing this like, I was like doing like tapping. I was like doing like crazy stuff.
Like kneading it like dough.
Yeah. I was like, start at the base upside down, twist at the top like at the doorknob, go back. Like I was like doing this crazy.
A math problem.
Oh my God. And then, so then that, when was your first hand job?
What
age was that?
17.
I was the same age. I was a late bloomer.
I love that.
A late bloomer.
No, yeah, you don't. And by the way, you know, as women, you don't really learn to have sex till you're like 33.
100%.
Like early 30s.
And also, like, I remember seeing a dick for the first time and being like, it looked like the crazy. I was like, what do I do with this? I think I just stared at it for like 45 minutes before doing anything. And then I cried.
It's terrifying.
It was terrifying.
My first hand job, I was 13 and I was dating. No, I know. 13, about to turn 14. So I always like bragged about that. I was 13, but I was literally a month shy of 14. But it was eighth grade. And it was with this guy who I met at a bat mitzvah who had dropped out of school because I believe he was up to no good. I
you
don't
like,
want
he dropped
to say what he
was
doing.
His dick was so big that he couldn't wear fine pants that fit him and he couldn't go to school.
But actually, the first time I gave him a hand job, he pulled down his pants. I didn't know what to do. I was so confused and so scared. And the first thing he says is, pretty big, huh?
Oh, God.
Shocking.
And I had nothing to compare it to except my brush. So I was like, yeah, it is big. And I didn't know what to do. I remember, like, I think I was like driving it like a stick shift. I just didn't know what to do. I was so confused. I was also so scared and I didn't want to be giving him a hand job. And then he was like, you're hurting me. Let's stop. And we stopped. And then it just all went downhill from there. Like it was so bad. The stomach though, because I used to skip class. This was my like rebellious, quote unquote, rebellious phase because I was so afraid of doing anything wrong. I was so afraid of getting in trouble. But I would skip the first period because he lived next door to my high school. I would skip first period go to his garage where he had his art studio, give him hand jobs, make out,
no.
go back to school. And because I went to an all-girls school, would go into class late. The professor, the teacher was a man, and he would look at me and he would see me come in late and say something, and I'd start crying and go, feminine issues. And feminine issues worked every time.
And by the way, it's not a lie.
What?
It is a feminine issue, having to give a hand job.
At like 8 a.m.?
You were an exhausted femme by 8 a.m. It completely makes
not
sense.
Not ready for Gio, I'll tell you that.
No.
Horrible. I mean, terrible. But I was like trying to, I think the only, I was so afraid of drugs, I was so afraid of drinking that I think I exerted my rebellion. Like, I just wanted my rebellious phase to come, and I did that through hand jobs. That was my most rebellious thing that I did. And I wrote about it in my diary, and I believe someone found it, and I got picked up from my art class by my mom. I get into the car. She goes, "How was art?" I said, "It was great." She pulls over the car. She puts it in park, and she looks at me, and she goes, "I know everything." And my heart, like my stomach dropped. I started crying immediately. She was like, "I'm so disappointed." I asked if I could walk home.
No.
She dropped me off. I walked home. She was like, "You're grounded for so long." I mean, for 6 months, I think.
Years.
What?
Because
months?
Someone, it wasn't, she didn't read my diary, but my best friend at the time told, I believe, my like babysitter everything I had done. And what? The babysitter reported it to my mom because she had to.
No, she had to. She had
to. Why was your best friend talking to your babysitter?
She said it was because she had ADD.
What?
She was using ADD as it. She was like, "It's because I have ADD and I'm really unwell."
Oh my God. Did you ever get in trouble like that? Was there ever like a thing? Were your parents like ground? My parents never grounded me, but I never did anything bad enough.
That's like me. I was not disciplined because I never did anything wrong.
Really?
I was like, I never got in trouble. Like I remember one time, like the like naughtiest thing I did was like, I think one time spent then like going out to some party and there was alcohol involved, but I was like sober. But then we like, I stayed out all night and pretended that I was at a friend's house. There's like no story. It's very boring. Like nothing really ever happened. Although one, a little funny detail is one time I was with my dad and we were in like the museum gift shop at LACMA or something. And they had fake cocaine they were selling. And I was like, "I want this." And he was like, "Okay." And like bought me this like fake cocaine as a joke. And then I had it under my bed with my diary and stuff. And my mom found it and thought I had cocaine. And so then there was this big thing of like, "You have cocaine." And I had a therapist at the time. I've had a therapy since the moment I was born. So constant therapist. My therapist at the time, my parents called and they were like, "We found cocaine." And it was like, "Okay, we're going to do this meeting." And they were like, "We found cocaine." And I was like, "That's fake cocaine that you bought me, Dad." And he was like, "Oh." And so that was like a very
wackety shraggety.
It was a little prop. It was a little prop comedy at an early age that he was recognizing in me.
Theater.
My parents never caught me smoking weed. I think I had a conversation with my mom like recently where I thought that I was like so sly. Like I thought that I was like killing the game.
Yeah.
You know, coming in super stoned because Danielle, my eldest sister, was my carpool driver my freshman year of high school. And so we would both just smoke weed coming home, but
hot box.
We would immediately make fucking brownies, like out of box brownies, like immediately. Like it was either we would bring home Taco Bell, which is also like, of course, you're high.
So and cozy. Then,
or if we didn't have enough money for Taco Bell, my mom would always get box brownies. It was like the kind of thing where like,
yum.
I feel like my mom would see that I like liked one item and then get like 55 million of them. And I like, "No, I said that I liked it like once." Like I said that I really wanted string cheese like once. And then all of a sudden like a Costco, like huge.
That's
thing
so
of,
adorable.
Like,
I think that's common with girls. You know, when the girls, the something they willy, you know, you got to get it, got to get a lot of it.
Oh, but yeah. Do you guys remember Kudos? Do you guys remember the Kudos?
With M&M's?
With M&M's. They were,
I never had
bar,
Kudos.
But it's supposed to be healthy and they were not.
They weren't carried in my home, but I had a friend that had them. And I was always like, that's something that I feel like that age is like being so fascinated with other people's parents. Like my best friend, her parents to me were so exotic because her dad was a doctor and my dad's an artist and like, you know, like wasn't like a normal man. And like, so I was always like captivated by these kind of prototypical, like, and kind of still am, like men, like family men, like, "I'm a doctor. I have a real job. Like I go to work. God damn it." You know, like I work out. Like those, like dads like that are just so kind of mystify me. But I will say back to weed quickly, because I used to burn them down. And there was actually a 1 week, this actually my mother would be devastated to hear. There was a 1 week to maybe 2 week, 10 day period where I was, and this is in italics, selling weed. And meaning that there were like a few parties that I took a bunch of weed to and I was selling it. And I remember one time getting to this kickback and I heard someone go, the dealer's here. And I was like, I'm the dealer. And then I was like, I can't do this. Also, because I was completely unable to do math or anything. And I didn't know. So I would like grind. I would also grind it up. I was like, I should grind it all, which is like not what people want. They want nuggets of weed. But I would be like diligently grinding it. And then I would show up with like a bag of powder. I'd be like, $20, $15, $10. Like I was just was completely, it was totally arbitrary.
It's the best role you ever, you really stepped into that role of the dealer.
And of course did it too, like was dealing. And again, hoping like, who doesn't want like a girl who's dealing weed?
It's
like,
hot.
It could be cooler.
Who doesn't want a girl? I still want to like be that girl. That's the girl you want to be.
It's devastating for me at that age that I wasn't like making out with women, you know, girls, I should say, because I was a girl. But yeah.
But here's the thing. This is interesting because I've known Kate and I both grew up. We all grew up in LA. Kate and I both grew up very close to each other. And I knew of Kate through stories. I'm not going to say any details.
No, this is amazing.
No, I had heard that Kate had hooked up with a member of this really hot band that was playing LA. And so Kate went down in history as like, I mean, you hooked up with the hottest singer. No, he wasn't a singer, but we're not going to give it away.
He played lead guitar. But guitar, yeah, no, it actually was.
And he was it the heartthrob. I'm going to tell you after.
No, by the way. And knowing that is like, I can sleep at night because in my mind, like the idea that like there was ever a word uttered about me in that kind of like hip, like sexually active, like light, like that is unreal to me. And it is the truth. So I have to face the fact that I was participating in that I am fucking cool. But that is unreal to me.
Wait, what? That's so cool. I have nothing close to that.
Nothing.
The closest thing I had to that was I went to go see this guy named Kyle Rialpko, which no one knows who that is. Shout out to Kyle Rialpko. Love
his
album.
No one knows who I am.
No, that's really sad. I love you, Kyle Rialpko. But I remember he was playing at the Roxy and I fully had braces, like was fully like, I was like, oh, I'm going to make Kyle Rialpko fall in love with me. And I was, and it's like that like weird thing where you're like, it's your dream. Like you're in the crowd. Once I heard about Hanson, because that's what happened with Hanson. They found all of their wives.
Really?
Like in the crowd.
What?
Yes.
People, by the way, people do that. They do. There's a reason. People find... And they find them in the crowd. People love to find their wife in the crowd.
Weird. So I had that in my mind, like, oh my God, if it's, because I was also obsessed with Hanson. So I was like, but yeah. They had already found their wives. So I was like, okay, well, fuck, I can't fucking do that.
Yeah.
Kyle.
But Kyle Rialpko was ripe for the picking. And I made Esty drive me to the Roxy. And I remember there was literally 5 people there. And I was like, oh my God, my odds are so strong. Like, so strong.
I'm surprised I wasn't there. I mean, because I went there.
I remember just watching him and I kept my mouth closed because I had braces. I was like, he's not going to like me because of my braces. And I kept my mouth closed until he looked at me and he like sang to me. And then
no.
I could not hold in no, my excitement no. That like literally like brace face. Like I turned into like the clip art version
the Cheshire
of like Screaming
Cat.
Girl. Like,
yeah,
that's what I was. And it was the best of my life, but I didn't even get to meet him. He didn't even seek me out. There wasn't even like a thing where his manager came and like picked me out of the crowd and was like, Kyle wants to see you.
Which
that was
a fantasy.
My dream.
That
was
my
fantasy. Dream. That's still my fucking dream.
I'll just say quickly, I saw a band once called The Waking Hours.
Oh, yeah.
Look them up.
Oh,
do you
yeah.
remember them?
Oh, yeah.
No, you're kidding.
Oh, yeah. No, Esty knows. Esty knew of them. Yes.
Mike McCormack. Was the drummer, and I thought he was so cute, and I had braces at the time, and I remember I went to the concert with my friend and I bought like an LP and he signed it and I was like, there's definitely an energy. And he was like, hey, he's like, I love your braces, like so cute or something. And I was like devastated because I was like, he sees me as a child, not the woman that I am.
Not who I really am. How long did you have braces for?
16 years. No, here's what's crazy, and this is why so much of orthodontia is like a scam. I had it for a year.
Really?
Like a year.
So jealous. That's and your teeth are perfect, I know. By the way. Congrats on having
I don't think I ever needed them. Thank you. I've ever seen in my whole life. And here's actually a little fact about me. They took my braces off one of my teeth, and then like 2 years later, I went to another doctor or something, and one of my teeth is completely 180 degrees backwards, like the outside's inside, the inside's the outside. And this alleged orthodontist never noticed that. So I had full braces and my tooth was just backwards. But who cares? I don't need to like go in there and twist it.
No, I mean, your teeth are a work of art. Yeah, I don't know if anyone has ever said that to you, but I had braces for four. I had braces for 4 years. And me too. Everyone knows how fucked up my teeth are. Like my teeth are so, because I was like, okay, so I had 4 years of braces. And then when I got it off, they're like, you have to wear a retainer. And I was like, I'm sorry. So you're telling me that I had to just endure 4 years of having fucking braces, and now I have to wear a fucking retainer? Like, there's no way. And so I immediately just stopped wearing my retainer. I was like, fuck this. Teeth, my mouth is just all fucked. It's,
oh my God.
I don't know love if it's the shtetl. Your teeth. I don't know if it's like
nothing
the Ashkenazi
chicker than a crooked tooth.
It's wild. I have a snaggle tooth. I have a snaggle tooth, and because my teeth weren't moving like as fast as they should, my orthodontist kept just taking teeth out. Yes.
No.
So I have like less teeth than I'm supposed to have. It was nuts. It was whoa. Fucking crazy.
No, they're just yanking them out. There's no God in orthodontia.
No.
It's like the wild goddamn West. It really is.
But you know what's fucking crazy? Apparently braces are in right now. Like, if you have braces, you're considered cool. And it's like,
at what age, though? Like, on TikTok, Gen Z? Or like,
it's like a TikTok thing where, like, people are like dying to get braces. They're like, I cannot wait to get braces because they're like in fashion. And I'm like, when did this change?
Yeah.
Well, do you remember when Tom Cruise wore braces on a red carpet once?
Yes.
It was just, yeah.
He did.
Yeah, what is that? I do remember that.
It was one of the most incredible photos.
I think that was like he wore them for Vanilla Sky,
or he wore them for real.
He wore them for real. He needed to fix his teethies.
He had them at Cannes.
He went to Cannes with braces on?
With full brace face.
I'm just showing Alana a picture.
Well, also, Gwen Stefani.
Oh, he had them twice.
Also rocked braces, which made me feel better.
A lot of people.
Oh my God, has it scrubbed from the internet? Oh no.
And
he got the clear
kind.
Oh God.
He got the clear kind, which I always avoid. I was told never to get the clear.
Never to get the clear kind because you get food stuck in there and it gets dyed. And I always did blue. That was like
I did Lakers. Like I did purple and yellow. I did Hanukkah theme. I did every chance I got to do a theme, I would do it.
I don't even know what color I had, but I know I had colors.
And how about that feeling of getting them off for the first time? And it's like slimy.
Remember, everyone would always be like, it's really slippery. Like, I have like trauma of hearing that. Like, everyone being like, I know they're so smooth. I can't stop running my tongue all over them. I was like,
yeah. Oh my God. I'm going to go eat an apple for the first time in 4 years.
Oh my God. That was a huge
moment. That was a
big
one. Like, oh my God, you guys, I can eat an apple. I also have a vivid memory because I was in high school with braces. Like, it started in 7th grade and I got
it's
them
character
off.
Building.
It is. I honestly I talk about this one. My middle school crush was named Willie St. Marie. He's like still the love of my life. Like, I think about him once a day at least. He's a farmer now. It's cool. It's really fucking cool. He's a fucking farmer. Yeah, he's a farmer. And I'll never forget, like, we all went to the movies and like I had heard through the grapevine, this is pre-braces. So like I knew I was getting my braces like maybe a couple days later, and I had heard through the grapevine like Willie St. Marie has a crush on you, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I have made it. I'm here, I'm in middle school, I have arrived. Like, the hottest guy in school has a crush on me. And I'll never forget, I got my braces on and immediately he jumped ship. He jumped ship on me like a million times. He's like my lifelong, like, oh my God, you are the reason why I have trauma.
We love inconsistency.
We like.
Does he know?
Never
I'm about to put
I
on
wanted.
My Ira Glass
never.
Hat and do a This American Life about you finding him, okay? Because you
no,
know someone's going to hear that.
He's like not on social media either, which is aggravating, which is so aggravating. Hot. Like, I can't even stalk you in my old age of 30. And I still think about you from time to time.
I did. Something horrible happened to me. I had a crush on Theo, my brother's best friend, Asher. And this is, again, a little younger. I was in fifth grade. But do you remember there was a website called CrushLink?
No.
Where if you put in your crush's name, and then if your crush puts in your name, it links you.
By the way, that's...
It's genius.
I love how I'm like, that's genius. I'm like, oh, is that just all dating apps? Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm that's like Hinge. With that algorithm that is Hinge, brilliant. That is Tinder. I'm like, oh, that's what like, they are.
Wait, stop everything. We're canceling this podcast. We are all bringing back CrushLink.
Sharks. Yeah. No. And so as a joke... Asher
no,
put
no.
my name. And so what happens is you get this email that says someone has a crush on you. Fill out your questionnaire, whatever, to save him. And I filled out Asher. Of course, he was my everything. He was my everything. And it linked us. And I've started crying. I was only I cried out of happiness. I started jumping for joy around my room. I remember I had a canopy bed, which is very mature. And I swung around the poles and like, I was the most excited I've ever been, crying. Weeping from joy. Theo comes into my room. He goes, starts laughing hysterically. He was like, that was a joke. And I, in my state of shock, like, get out of my room. And I've never cried so hard. I will say those 10 seconds of believing Asher liked me back really gave me the confidence to start cyber sexing with people.
Yeah. You know? No, you only need to feel that for a moment to know that it's possible.
When was your first boyfriend?
That's crossing a line. I had one in the ninth grade.
In the ninth grade.
That's a good time.
And he was, you know, it was very sweet. He wrote me poems and... here's a little story. This is quite good. Again, the rules 101 of telling a story, don't start with that. But so my boyfriend in the ninth grade, we're going out. It was great. You know, we both loved the Royal Tenenbaums and everything was great. And then... This is hard. Okay. He was starting to drift away. Right. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And he admitted to me that he had feelings for someone else. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to the Noose store after school. So I was really sad and all of that. And then I was like, who is it? And he was like, I'll fax you the name of who I have a crush on. Like tonight at 5 o'clock or something. It was very specific. I'm going to fax it to you. I go. So my parents had a fax machine in Bragg. So I go home and I'm sitting at the fax machine staring at it, waiting to see the name of the person. And the fax machine starts going.
And also that working.
And it spits out my best friend's name.
Stop. Was it handwritten? Did he like
handwritten in cursive?
What did you do?
I mean, I don't even recall. I mean, I was devastated. I wept. I will say, from what nothing happened between them, so I heard. But now, as an adult, I go, well, were they holding hands? You know, did they kiss? Did they make out? Seeing 1 hour photo at the Lemley? You know, and
oh my god, 1 hour photo,
and full Valerie Cherish voice, but Yeah, so that was a real moment of,
did you dramatically rip up the page? Like, I feel like that's what I would have done. I would have taken it and, like, dramatically ripped it up into
pages. Or did you save it?
I have the actual piece of fact at my parents' house.
Stop.
I have it all. I have it all, honey.
You have the fact?
I have the facts.
No.
I have the facts. I save everything.
Kate, I do too. I have my corsage.
I need a copy of the facts. I want to frame it and put it in my house.
I want the facts.
Yeah, no, I'll show it to you. I have it. Can you believe that?
Dude, fax machines. What a time.
And that's the thing. Like one of my best friends and I, we used to send each other facts back and forth, like letters. And it's just like, I mean, whatever. Am I really going to be someone over here, you know, weeping at the state of technology and correspondence, but it's true. We've been robbed, you know, and the youth particularly now are totally fucked.
Oh yeah. No, I remember figuring out how to send a fax and it was like, I was a genius. Like I was hacking into the mainframe. I was like, oh my God, did it get to you? Like on the phone, be like, did it get to you? And like, yeah, it got to me. And being like, I can now, you know, work for NASA.
It's beautiful and still a complete mystery. Fax machines are inherently more impressive than...
I don't get it.
I don't understand. I don't get it.
Oh my God.
What a time.
What a time,
what
Kate.
What a time, Kate.
It was so fun. I really am flying high from the fun.
I know.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye. That is the, those were the craziest stories I've ever heard.
She's so fast.
So fast, so funny.
She's so funny. She was caffeinated. I just, she's such a genius. I'm genius. So happy Kate Berlant joined us.
Thank you, Kate, for being on our podcast. It's so nice of her.
Cute little podcast.
On our cute little podcast.
She's a podcast queen. She's got Poog going, which is so good and funny.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
I love it. Go listen to that too. I'll support all of our guests on this podcast.
This has been a podcast presentation of Cadence 13. So please listen, rate, 5 stars, review, and follow all episodes available now for free wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Free Period.
New episodes every Tuesday.